We are in the middle of a series called Godless Christianity. What an interesting title. Why Godless Christianity? We have a tendency, for those of us who have grown up in church or grown up in the West, to limit Christianity to a set of beliefs, or maybe even a set of things that we do. And we miss really the point of it all, which is that we would have an intimate relationship with the God who loves us by the Holy Spirit. And what's neat about this is that, and really what I'm challenged is that, man, we need to experience God on a regular basis. And we've settled far too often, myself included, in a simple set of beliefs and a set of practices. And we forget that God is a God of power. He's a God of intimacy. As we're going to see this morning, he's a God who speaks. And so what I'm encouraging, even what I want to encourage our young people in here, those who are maybe elementary school, middle school, high school, don't accept a Christianity devoid of God's power, his Spirit. He wants to talk to you. He wants to encounter you from a young age. We serve a God who is alive. And he speaks. And I still remember my first kind of brushing shoulders with the Holy Spirit. I grew up in church, and I think I shared this a few months ago, but a visiting pastor had come through, and he'd opened to the book of 1 Corinthians and taught on 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 about the gifts of the Spirit. And then he said, okay, now let's see this practiced. And I was just, well, we don't do that here. You know, at church, we read the Bible. We don't practice what's in the Bible. So I was very shocked by that. And I remember that man began to speak by the Holy Spirit things about my family that no one would have known. And it arrested my heart. In fact, Scripture speaks about that in 1 Corinthians 14, 24 through 25. It says, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever, an outsider, enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. And I remember in that moment when that man was speaking about nothing that only God would know, I knew God was real. And it made me want to get to know this God who knew me. Because he knew me, but I didn't know him. Now, some of us haven't all had experiences like that in church, have we? This is kind of a strange story, and I'm not quite sure why it happened, but I went to this youth lock-in. Y'all remember lock-ins? Anybody been to a lock-in? So went to a youth lock-in, and it was one of those that was like citywide. There were hundreds of kids there. It was at the YMCA, and they asked for volunteers, and sure, you know, raised my hand. It was about 10, 20 of us. And they took us to this back room and kind of closed us off and said, we'll come and get you. So I'm already a little nervous. And they came and they got us one at a time. And they marched us out. And they were screaming, hey, this is the love train. And we're going to, and they started, you know, doing this kind of train. And they take us one at a time and they train us out in front of the large crowd of youth. And they talk about the love train, and then the first person would hug the second person. And love train. And I'm like, this is really weird. And then the next person would hug the next person. Love train. And then they get to the last person, the person at the end, this is the first time they've seen this. They're excited. They've been in the back room waiting for this. And they get ready to get a hug, and the person smacks them in the face. That's true. True story. And so they're just shocked. And they go, ha, 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 love train. And then they go get the next person. And so the next time, they get to smack the next. I don't know why this happened, but this happened. And so I'm in line, and the girl who I knew was in front of me, she had gone first, so she was ready. And we were kind of frenemies. You know, we knew each other, but we got on each other's nerves. So this was her shot. And boy, when she went, I came in for my hug, and smack, right in the face. I was shocked. But I picked up, this is how the game goes, you know, and I'm a rule follower and I compete according to the rules. That poor girl behind me didn't know what was coming. Now, what a story. Why are you telling that? Well, here's why. Some of us have come into church and we've come in to scenarios and we're seeing everyone else getting a nice hug and we feel smacked. And we don't know what's going on. And because we've been smacked, maybe we smack someone else, you know? That's just the way it goes. And what we expect and what we receive are two different things. And what I want us to do today is have our expectations tuned in to the right things. We don't serve a God who's going to pretend like he loves us and then hurt us in the end. We serve a God who will love us to the end. And so I want us to get to know this God this morning. And so I'm going to read some passages. It's not typically what we do on a Sunday, but there's going to be a number of passages we go to. And I want us to begin to think about who is the Holy Spirit and how does he operate? What does he do? So that we can tune in our expectations. So first passage is 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 4, and it says this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, the church at Corinth had written a letter to Paul asking him about certain things, and Paul was now going to address spiritual gifts. And this is what he says. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. One version says ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. You know that when you were pagans or unbelievers, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaks in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Paul is helping the Corinthians be a little bit more settled and say, look, when God speaks to you, he's not going to speak against his son Jesus. And those who speak by the Spirit are not going to speak ill of Jesus. In fact, they're going to say Jesus is Lord. And Paul does a contrast here between mute idols and a God who speaks. That's what he's doing. He's saying, look, there are idols who are mute, but not you. You serve a living God who speaks. That's my first point this morning. The Holy Spirit is a communicator. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is God, and he communicates. In fact, we're going to read some passages right before Jesus is arrested and crucified and risen from the dead for our sins. He is trying to prepare his disciples for his departure. And what he does is the largest teaching on the Holy Spirit we have in the Bible. Right here, Jesus teaches about the Holy Spirit. He's got kind of a behind the scenes, right? Y'all have seen these kind of interviews where someone just talks about someone else famous who knows them really well. It's kind of fun. How are they really, you know? And Jesus is going to describe the Holy Spirit to us. And how does he describe him? John 14, 16 and 17, this is what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, and he dwells with you and will be in you. The first word we see here of Jesus describing the Holy Spirit is helper. In the Greek is parakletos, one called alongside to help. In fact, another helper literally means, Jesus is saying this, someone just like me who's been helping you like I'm helping you will come with you and be with you, and he will help you walk with me. Another helper, one just like me. So imagine Jesus in spirit form, that's the Holy Spirit. And the word here, parakletos, comes from the root of that word is all verbal, exhortation, encouragement, urging. It is communicating. This is the helper who communicates to you. The Holy Spirit is a communicator. The word also has a legal kind of connotations. In fact, one commentator says the best way to think about this is that the Holy Spirit is a family lawyer who is at your disposal. He's there to stand up for you, to stand up for your rights, to defend you, and to communicate to you what you need to do. It's amazing. You don't need a lawyer if you're not doing anything, right? I mean, if you have a lawyer, there's a reason, right? And so Jesus is saying, you're going to need a lawyer because you're going to be doing things that are significant in the earth. You're going to need the Holy Spirit. Next, we see John 14, 26. He says, but the helper, just so you don't miss it, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. I want you to think about this. The Spirit will come to you to teach you. How does he teach? Does he speak audibly? He doesn't have a mouth. The Holy Spirit comes to teach us. The same word described Jesus when he would teach the crowds. One just like Jesus to teach you. And to bring to your remembrance. So when you accept Jesus into your heart as a believer in the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus, God will pour out his Spirit inside of you, someone who can actually bring things to your memory. I just want you to think about that. The Spirit teaches you and brings things to your memory. He's a communicator. Next, we see John 15. Jesus continues, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Meaning, the Spirit will accompany the preaching of the gospel. When Jesus is mentioned, he will stand and affirm it in the hearts of people and in your heart. He's a communicator. The Spirit communicates to you and he communicates to others with you. He will bear witness or testify, other versions say. Think about this. How does the Spirit testify? When I hear someone testify, I hear a loud proclamation. I hear something very clear. And here's the Holy Spirit testifying. Jesus goes on. Chapter 16 in John, chapter 16, verse 13 through 15. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will declare to you things that are to come. He will glorify me. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Whatever I have, therefore I said to you, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Here's the Spirit declaring. Think about these verbs speaking about the Spirit. He bears witness. He testifies. He declares. He encourages. He exhorts. He's an advocate. All of these things emphasize that the Spirit of God communicates to you and I. The Spirit of God communicates to you and I. Okay? Here's a question that you might ask yourself. What has the Holy Spirit been communicating to me? That's different than, did you read your Bible? Did you spend time with God? Did you go to small group? Because the point isn't that. The point is, what has God been communicating to you? communicates. It's a weightier and more real realization that God is speaking to me and to you. That brings me to my second point, number two. The Holy Spirit's desire is to bring us close to God. Why is He speaking? To bring you to God and to bring others to God, to have intimate relationship. Have you settled for a Christianity and a walk with God that is devoid of communication, devoid of intimacy? I know I have at times. The Holy Spirit's desire is to bring us close to God. I love this verse in Psalm 32, 8 and 9. I want you to listen to these verbs and sound, and tell me if they sound familiar. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Those are all words we just read in John 14 through 16 that describe the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the teacher, instructing you, guiding you. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. When my kids were younger, we had this practice. If you have young kids, you realize at some age they become mobile, right? It seems quick, but it's not, right? It takes years. But eventually, around between 1 and 2, maybe even before that, your children start to move. And whatever you're trying to do to them, feed them, that's why you start strapping them to things, right? Here's a chair. Now here's a belt. I mean, it's funny how any other season of your life, if this was done to you, it'd be against the law. But because you're a toddler, it's okay, right? You have a backpack with this, like, leash walking kids around, make sure they don't get away. You strap them to a chair. You do all these things. And so we would kind of figure out, we didn't use screens a lot when the kids were young because of the health concerns with that. But sometimes when you just couldn't get them dressed, you just put on a screen. And it was like, especially if they don't see it a lot, it was just like. And then while they're watching the screen, you're like, man, this is awesome, man. You're changing their clothes, taking shirts off, putting shirts on. And you know, in a span of about 2 or 3 minutes, you could completely change their wardrobe. And you know what? They had no idea. They didn't even know what happened. They just knew, like, screen. That's all they knew. And you were like, this is amazing. I'm going to change them like this forever. Turn on the screen. You change their clothes. And then turn off the screen. Like, what happened? Oh, change your clothes, right? Now, imagine this is really how God interacts with us many times. He wants to do things in our life, and sometimes He's got to, like, distract you to get it done. Like, I want to do something. Blake is not really listening to me. And so I'm going to distract him and I'm going to make him listen to me, right? Y'all have ever had circumstances where you're like, oh God, like, God, I need you. Yeah, I know. You've needed me for about 5 years. But now the trial has caused you to look to me, right? And so now if my son was 9 or 13 or 16, and I turn on a screen to change him, something's wrong, right? Hey, Isaac, you know, here's a screen. No, my son at a certain age, maybe 3, 4, 5, he started changing himself, right? He did it himself. Now, that's exciting to me because I wanted our relationship to be more than changing their clothes. I wanted to give them responsibility. I wanted them, hey, man, we've got this job to do, and I want you to take care of it. And we work beside each other. We do things together. Our relationship matures. God bore you again, John 3. Born again by the Spirit. Did you know it? Did you know that was happening? No. He opened your eyes to the beauty of Jesus, that Jesus died for your sins, and something resonated in you that was true. and you put faith in him and you surrendered up your will and your life to him and he changed you. Did you know that was going on? No. You probably just had like the tingles and were like, that was good. I need something. And then when you moved and you reacted, God met you. He did the work. But now God wants to walk with you and raise you from toddlerhood and infancy to adulthood. And he wants to speak to you by the Spirit, instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Counsel you with his eye upon. Don't be like the mule or the horse that with bit and bridle, or they won't come near you. How's your relationship with God? Is it like a bit and bridle where God has to force you to come near him? You need me. And so I'm going to pull you to myself. Or does God just have to look at you and you see his eye? And you're like, God, yeah, I need to go to God. And so this is the point of God communicating to you by the Spirit that you might be close with God and mature in your relationship. How is your relationship with the Holy Spirit? Does he counsel you? The answer is yes. The question is, do you hear him? Does he instruct you and teach you? Yes. But do you hear him? Now, God is all powerful. God is sovereign and he is glorious. And sometimes, even despite you, he will bit and bridle you right where you need to go. That's good. Praise God for that. But is that the relationship God wants with you? It's not. He'll take it, but he wants more. Okay, that begs a question. How do we better hear or listen to the Spirit and therefore draw closer to God? I'm so glad you asked. We're going to answer that question right now. How do we better hear and listen to the Spirit and therefore draw closer to God? Answer number one, I'll give three answers. We must spend time reading and meditating on the Scriptures, listening to the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says this. We have that up there. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. God breathed out the Scriptures. In fact, in Hebrew, and Paul knows this, the word for the Spirit was ruach, which means the breath of God. So God's Spirit breathed life into Scripture itself. When we read the Scripture, we're reading the breath of God. When we read, well, I don't hear God. Then get in your Bible and listen to what God's already said. His complete and sufficient word. The ruach, the breath of God. See, my kids are starting to text me from my wife's phone. But you know, I can tell the difference. You know, when my wife texts me, they're just words typed, right? But when my kids text me and my wife texts me from her account, like from Michelle, I can tell the difference. Why? Because I know Michelle. She's got kind of this sweet, caring, irreverent sense of humor. Like, there's this personality that comes through the written word. And then when my son's like, when are you coming home? Like, I know that's him, not my wife. Like, it says Michelle, but that's Isaac. I just know it. Because there's personality. There's something of God coming out of the Scripture so that when I hear something that doesn't sound like God, it's not, because it doesn't line up with what God has already said. Now, we know this, like, just like when you follow, like, someone on social media, their personality comes out of their posts or their videos. and you kind of get to know them. And then when you see them in real life, you're like, I kind of feel like I kind of know them. But then when you actually communicate and you interact with them, that comes to new life. And so, yes, read the scripture. Yes, memorize the scripture. Yes, dive into this. But you can study the scriptures and miss the point of the scriptures, which is to connect you with God. Learn information and not hear his breath. What is the Holy Spirit speaking to me through this passage? When you spend time with God, when you sit down and you read a verse or a passage or a chapter or four chapters, you're thinking in your minds, what is the Holy Spirit speaking in this passage about who he is, about who I am? What is he emphasizing? It's more than reading words on a page. It's hearing the breath of God. Answer number two, be mindful of the Holy Spirit with you. We just read this, John 14, 17b. You know him. He dwells with you and will be in you. God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of the believer. He has made his habitation in your person. If we want to walk with the Holy Spirit, we've got to be mindful that he's there. When I'm so stressed out, and I'm so consumed, and I'm so busy, my house can be full of people, and I feel alone. I didn't even know you were here, right? You ever done that? You're like, my roommate's been here for 4 hours, and I had no clue because I'm so consumed in my world. God is walking with you. He's communicating to you. We're too consumed with our stuff. I mean, you know how long this takes? 30 seconds. Take a step back. God is with me. Lord, what do you have to say about this? What do you want to do today? What should I do about this problem? It's inviting the Holy Spirit into your world. Being mindful of the Holy Spirit. The great Baptist preacher, Charles Spurgeon, before he would take the steps up to the pulpit to preach, he was called the Prince of Preachers. Every step he took, he would say to himself, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you, who walks with you? This is a diversion, but the first time the Spirit comes on an individual in the Bible, it is not a prophet or a priest or a preacher. It's a craftsman. God anointed the goldsmiths and the workers with their hands to create something for the tabernacle for his glory. Imagine if God would anoint you by the Spirit to do your craft for his glory. The first time he falls on an individual, it's not to preach, it's not to teach, it's not to prophesy, it's to work with his hands. Have you invited the Holy Spirit into your craft? Have you invited him into your medicine or your nursing or your teaching or your mechanics? Like getting into the car and digging, getting your hands all dirty. I remember yesterday I walked home and I was covered from head to toe in mud and sweat and dirt. And I wonder how much of that did I invite the Holy Spirit into? What did he have to say? I was so focused on getting my thing done, which didn't get done. And then it got done. By that's the grace of God right there, right? Despite me, God came through. Mindful. The Holy Spirit with you. Finally, ask for more of the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:14. If you then, who are evil, Jesus speaking about our sinful nature, all of us evil, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Father, Can I have more of your Spirit today? It's that simple. Father, can I have more of the Spirit today? We have settled, guilty, we have settled for far too little of God's Spirit. He speaks. It's every time Jesus referenced the Holy Spirit in John 14, 15, and 16, it was with the connotation or flat out declaration that he's a speaker. He's a communicator. That's who he is. And do we listen to him? Do we get in this scripture to get familiar with his voice? Do we ask for more of him? Because there's so much more of him. And we can't limit him to revival. I know from I grew up in the Baptist church, and I spent swing on this pendulum to charismania, and then now hopefully I'm some kind of balanced approach, a biblical approach. But we can forget that he moves in power. And then all we can do is wait for him to move in some kind of supernatural power. And we forget that he walks with you every day walking in power. It doesn't have to be sensational. It doesn't have to be some powerful move of God that might happen every 30 to 40 years. And I'm believing it'll happen again soon. But until it does, I'm walking in power today. We need all of God. All of the Spirit. Why don't we stand and pray? Father, you're a good God. You don't promise a hug and give us pain. You promise your Spirit and you give us of yourself, your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for every person that hears my voice right now, that you would fill them with more of the Holy Spirit. Father, if they're not walking with you or they don't know you, I pray that you would touch their heart by the Holy Spirit, showing yourself that you love them, that you died for them, that you rose again, and that you want to adopt them as your daughter or your son. That you will move heaven and earth for them. I pray right now by the Spirit of God, you would arrest hearts. Some who are running from you, God. You can't outrun the Spirit of God. I heard this while we were worshiping this morning. For some of us in this room this morning, draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Lean into him this morning. Lean into him this week. We're going to pray and fast for God to move in our city. Take a day. Take a meal. Take 4 days. Lean into God. What might you do in my heart over these next 4 days? What might you speak a word that will alter my life forever? One word of the Holy Spirit can change you forever. Can alter the trajectory of your life. One touch of the Holy Spirit will keep you running towards Him for years. It will cause you to lose taste for the world. It will cause you to lose your appetite for the things that are destroying your soul. If that's you this morning, I just want you to, right where you are at home or in this room, just hold your hands up to the Lord and say, Lord, I want more of you. fill me with your Holy Spirit. Forgive me for settling for far less of you. Just let God minister to you right where you are. Some of us in this room feel nothing. Some of us in this room, they hear me talk about the Spirit, and there is void. I want you to pray a dangerous prayer this morning. Say, God, make me hungry for you. Stir my soul for more of you, God. God, I feel nothing, but I want you. Pray that prayer this morning. Father, I pray that this church would be a church marked by the presence of God, marked by the power of God, healings, signs, wonders, words that change destinies and purposes, people, conduits for the presence of the Spirit of God. Father, I pray this week as we fast and pray, as we go throughout our day, those of us who are working long hours in the season, Lord, breathe a fresh breath on them. Give them strength. Those who find themselves in vulnerable situations, in harm's way, who are maybe ministering in the medical community, Father, give them strength in Jesus' name. Give them wisdom. May they be led by the Spirit. Father, fall on the professionals in this room, those who don't pull their income from the church, Lord, but live every day working, laboring. Fall on them. Anoint them for their craft. Anoint them by the Holy Spirit to minister to people, to educate, to do chemistry and engineering. Not be limited to the walls of this building. Lord, may we open our lives, open our homes, open our occupations, open our workplaces for the move of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask this. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.